This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, listeners. What a joy to be with you again today. Last week, we spoke about what a Christ-centered recovery is when dealing with our hurts, hang-ups, and habits. And we ended off with a cliffhanger. Frederick still did it for us. Of Trevor Abrahams as a biker on a restoration journey. Welcome back, Trevor. It's so good to have you with us.
Good to be back. Good to be back. Thank you, Ben.
So Trevor, let's get a little bit off the cliffhanger and not keep everybody stuck on the cliff. You know, in Galatians 6:12, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore them, such a person, with a gentle spirit. Watch out for yourselves, or you also won't be tempted." And that goes along with the step 12 comparison that says, in having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
I just need to come in there and let listeners know we're talking about the 12 steps of recovery. Mm-hmm. That is part of recovery programs. And so this is what Frederick has been referring to.
And we're talking very specifically about Christ-centered programs. Mm. And there are really many, many different programs that are Christ-centered. So Trevor, could you share a little bit with us how you have been able to put this step 12 into practice as a biker?
The biking fraternity, as where we are here in Cape Town, it's a very diverse and a culturally soaked So I always tell fellow bikers, it's a great place to be in, to get a preview of what nation building looks like, you know, and therefore the bike and the culture of biking allows us to engage with any, if you want to call it, race, with any culture, you know, and any persuasion of what people think of the country. So that's a great way to break in with the message of hope. And
without God. People have different perspectives about bikers as rebels, all the way to gentlemen and ladies. Are you involved in the biker community, or you said you are, and how do you see bikers as someone who's really involved?
Well, I think we generally try to give the look that we are rebels with our chains and our dress code. We want to look like fearsome, but actually, these are just ordinary people. They have regular jobs, and biking is the thing where they can meet other people, you know, without prejudice and without motive. Just be part of something that we, you know, there's a richness of culture in there. But ordinary people we are, we eat, we have parties, we go to church, and all sorts of groupings of people we find there. And a great harvest waiting for the Lord himself.
Yeah, and what I noticed, you know, I had also been in a little bit in the biking community, and I really noticed that, you know, even what they call the 1%ers, the guys that would really want to show themselves as rebellious, they're all just broken, and they are all in need or have some hurt, hang-up, or habit that needs some form of healing. And talking about broken, I think you also mentioned at some point when we were talking before about something called broken chains. Can you give us a little bit more information about that?
Yes. Incidentally, broken chains exist because of a 12-step program.
Yes.
And as we know, the 12-step programs have been some of those recovery, brought on board bikers that were promoting celebrate recovery out of their own, because they all belonged and came through the program of celebrate recovery.
Yes.
So this is where we find ourselves now as broken chains,
mm-hmm.
those bikers who love biking and who have found life, found healing and hope through Jesus Christ. And so all we do as Broken Chains, we promote the 12-step program.
Yeah.
That's our existence, basically.
And I mean, it's not like a club and you have to belong to a certain club or something like that. You know, who can be involved with Broken Chains?
Well, if you love motorcycles and you have a hurt or a hang-up and you join the 12-step program or, you know, belong to Celebrate Recovery or something like that, then you are eligible to promote Celebrate Recovery in biking through Broken Chains.
Maybe we just need to refer to what a 12-step program is again. We always need to remember all listeners don't always listen to all the programs, and we often refer to this. But, Frederick, will you give us a quick summary of that? Or maybe, Trevor, could you do that?
Oh, okay.
Either of you.
Yeah, I'd love, Trevor, to just take us
because
very quickly and briefly through.
Okay. I'll do it quickly. Well, in essence, it's a program that deals with our hurts, our hang-ups, our habits, our addictions, our anxiety, and things like that. You know, and I believe that, I should actually say that, you know, it's for Celebrate Recovery, it's for everyone. Everyone is broken in some way or another. Mm-hmm. And this is a program where it's a safe place. Where you can come and start to talk about, especially men, just a place to start talking, women as well. That's basically.
And don't judge each other, right?
Yeah.
Don't judge each other, and we don't fix each other either. We just there to support one another.
Right.
And supporting one another in the journey of going through the 12 steps, starting at we are powerless, and that we surrendering ourselves to God and asking Him and allowing Him to remove restore us to sanity, and then we go over to surrendering our life and will to Him. So the 12 steps go sequentially through a number of steps, 12 of them, that help us to recover and restore from some form of addiction or a habit or a hurt or a hang-up.
And Frederick, this reminds me, you know, the program, our program's name is Into Me See, which means intimacy.
Yeah.
And these things that you refer to now are all the things that keep us away from intimacy.
Yeah.
And that's why in this program, we look at the things that can help us to have intimacy with ourselves, with God, and those around us, especially those closest to us. Because often our hurts and hang-ups and habits or the sinful patterns we keep repeating in our lives are what keeps us away from closeness and connection and our relationships. Can you comment on this, Trevor?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. There's not much I can actually add to that, Suki. You just said all the top points there. Definitely, as we serve, as we go through the program, and making Jesus Christ as our higher power, you can and you will change. You will begin to experience the true peace and serenity that you have been seeking. And that's kind of like a hint. You see, if you're living, you're at peace in your life. You're seeking for that something and something to do with yourself, and there's something that's perhaps blocking it. Typically something in your past. And I'm sure church programs, they facilitate that. But I was just chatting to a pastor the other day, and he says, Trevor, this is something we don't do well, and we want to do it well. And this is the first time we could actually contemplate bringing a sort of a step study into the church. You know, and I think that will go a long way.
Yeah. So what I hear from you, Trevor, is that these undealt with hurts, hang-ups, or habits can have certain consequences if we do not deal with them. What do you think are some of the consequences of not dealing with our hurts, hang-ups, and habits?
Well, if I can maybe point at myself in that answer, When I was a young boy, we had a very trying growing up period. We lost our home and all those things. And both of my parents wanted to commit suicide while I was in their presence. You know, they threatened to commit suicide.
Sure.
And as life went by, you know, that thought resurfaced in one of our step meetings. It just resurfaced. It just popped up from nowhere.
Yeah.
And I had to start dealing with that. You know?
Mm.
So, yeah, the consequences is that, you know, my relationship with my mom and my dad never got to the point where I am with my kids.
Yeah.
And even today, my mom's still alive. I sound like a hypocrite. I'm a pastor. I work in the church. And I have this hang-up where I don't really trust my mom's love for me. Can you believe that? I'm working on something like that. But I never saw that one coming. I thought I loved my mom in the way I should, but I never saw that coming. I'm very defensive in her loving me. Can you believe that? So that's one of my hang-ups as an example.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Thank you, Trevor, for answering that. But let's just take a quick break, and we'll get back to that again after the break.
Welcome back, listeners. And thank you so much, Trevor, for your being vulnerable and sharing some of your own stuff with us, because we all have them. And it's not easy to admit that in front of many people that are listening. But yes, so I want to get back to... In this world, whether you are a biker or not, we are all hurt and we hurt others through our hang-ups and our habits. So on our healing journey, we'll get to a point when we need to forgive and receive forgiveness. So how does this work? Matthew 5 verse 23 to 24 says, "So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar." And I'm just thinking how often we just don't do that, eh? "First go and be reconciled with your brother," the Bible says, "and then come and offer your gift." And as we were talking about the steps, it goes with the ninth step that says we made direct amends to such people we've harmed, whether possible. Whenever possible, except when to do so would injure themselves or others. Do you want to comment on this one, Trevor? I'm curious to hear what you're going to say.
Oh, my word. There's a guy called Lewis B. Smithers, and he says to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think that's embedded in that word that you use, Suki, amends. You know, admit the hurts and the harm. You know, it says there, in the acrostic of amends, the A, admit that the hurt and the harm, and then M is make the list. E is encourage one another, N, not just for them, but for you too. Do it at the right time. And the S is start living the promises of recovery. And I think amends is something that, you know, it's one of the toughest things to do when people hurt you. You know, but I always think of the cross when Jesus walked up and carried the cross in his back, and he looked at the people around him. And if I were to have a glimpse and to look into his eyes at that point in time, what would I see? Just love, just love. And that's something that I have to, you know, show my mom, just love and just love. You know?
Absolutely.
And to make that amends in our hearts, to heal that past hurt.
Yes.
So, very challenging one, though, Suki. Very challenging.
And it really sounds like dying to self, hey? I've seen that in my own life. When I need to forgive, it's often I'm harmed and I want to hold on to that. And now I need to die to myself and my propensity to hold on to that hurt and not to want to forgive. And I need to be willing to let go, because just like you said so beautifully, the quote that you used, who's the one that's actually harmed? me, myself, because I'm the captive one, right?
With unforgiveness.
That's what I mean. When I don't forgive. And when I forgive, I am being set free, not only the person that I'm forgiving. Okay. Yes, you said it so well.
And what I think is also very important for me, this making amends or forgiving is not a once-off event and then it's dealt with. Mm. You know, there are some people in my life that have hurt me, and there may be some incident that I'm reminded of that harm and that hurt that person has caused.
Correct.
And I have to forgive them again.
Mm.
And then maybe a couple of months or weeks, I do it again. So it's really a process of forgiving until it doesn't hurt any longer.
70 times 7, hey?
Mm.
Frederick, I hope you're not talking about me, right?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not talking about
I'm
you.
Sure it's me also, because we all keep hurting each other. And we do, especially as married partners. We need to keep forgiving one another, maybe not specifically spoke about me. But I think it especially, isn't that so, Trevor? Can you also identify with that? It's those that are closest to us that often we need to forgive the most, hey? Mm.
Or that we hurt the most.
That we hurt the most. That we need to ask for forgiveness and that we need to forgive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think we over time we get exposed to each other's low points often enough, and
so
sometimes
true.
We don't have the mechanism to address it.
Yes.
And if we don't address it, which is making amends, we slowly kill off our emotions and things like that, and we hide it. And then we start a new addiction.
Yeah.
Addicted to bitterness,
yes.
without dealing with an issue. So you choose to live with that. And I think that's why it's so important that forgiveness is, you need to ask sometimes, is there anything I need to forgive you for? Is there anything you need to forgive me for?
And then also amends. I just want to get back to that point of amends. Amends is also in changed behavior, right? Because if we keep on saying sorry for the same behavior, we are not living amends. Because it's one thing to go back and to say, I'm sorry and I will change it. But if we keep doing that same over and over again, of course, we need to keep forgiving each other. But that's where the difficulty comes in. Hey,
yeah, it's not just about saying sorry.
Mm.
And that I found when I was struggling with my porn addiction, that I often said sorry. But there weren't the actions that accompanied the sorry.
Mm.
And that is where the true amends comes in.
Mm. And that is why recovery is so important.
Yeah.
Because if a person is not in a place where you can move away from your addictive behavior, and I'm sure some listeners are there today that are listening, that need to keep on saying sorry, or maybe their wives or their partners don't even know about that and they don't need to say sorry, but it brings a very big problem when it comes to intimacy in that relationship because we know when our partner's not honest with us, right?
But you could tell your partner in from time to time in working through your amends, you could tell them I like the saying, it says that I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be in everything that I do.
Of course.
There's a forward motion, as we try and we stumble and that's what I like about the 12 steps. It takes you from one step to the next step to the next. One day to the next day to the next day.
Progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think what's very, very important is to stay on the journey, as to stay in the process and the progress that is busy taking place. You know, step 12, there's a way that we can sustain our growth and healing.
11 and 12.
Yeah. So steps 11 and 12. Can you just comment on those? How can we sustain our growth and stay on this journey?
I think one is to realize that Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does change or enlarge our future. And I think we want to change the past. We want to erase the past. And living with the past, I think that's the healing part. Kind of living with the past, knowing what happened, and dealing with that reality. So you don't have to deny it anymore. You don't have to live in that denial. But you can use that as, okay, it happened in the past. I know it happened in the past. And now forgiveness has taken place, but it happened, you know. Yeah. And I think once we get to that part, it does push us forward.
Yeah. So, Trevor, what we're also getting back to is how to sustain our growth. You know, step 11 says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out.
Oh, I love that one. The power to carry it out. Hey? Yeah. Not only the knowledge.
Yeah, and this is the way that we can sustain our growth and healing. This is how we can sustain looking at the past, dealing with the past, coming to the current and the present and the here and now, and then moving into the future from this here and now, today, living one day at a time.
Yeah. I think, you know, as part of the program, you know, and it is the Word of God, is to do that inventory, a daily inventory, as we would call it, is to look at things just for today. You know, the past, we can't deal with the past, and we can't deal with the future.
Yeah.
So just for today, we can control what happens today, and you evaluate the good and the bad, and then do the amends associated with that, you know.
So that's that's what you mean by inventory, right? Because I know everybody is not familiar with the word inventory. So
that's
you look
correct.
At, okay, just explain again, this is what you've done, the good and the bad.
Yeah, and then just weigh up those things that you did for today, because you can only really deal with today. And take it to the Lord. If you have offended God, if you have sinned, take it to Him. And if you have to declare that with that person, with your wife, then and make the amends. As I said before, the most challenging thing to do.
Absolutely.
But that's the way God will help us. We love one another, and He says, in His word, love one another, care for one another, share your basically with one another.
Absolutely.
You know, confess to one another, and in that, the healing starts to take place.
Yeah, I think, you know, thank you very much, Trevor. You know, we've been sharing very, very important things from the point of being powerless over our behavior and managing our lives, to the point, step 12, where we begin to serve others, because we have worked through the 12 steps and we've taken our daily inventory, we've dealt with the past, and we're living in today and connecting with God today. Suki?
And you know, for me, the core of this is that I keep from this program, and the way I live my life now in relationship with Jesus, when I open my eyes in the morning, I say, Lord, today I lay down my life and my will before You. And I ask for a knowledge of Your will and the power to carry it out today.
Yeah.
And that's what helps me to live my life and to surrender what I need to surrender, to die what I need to die to. And that's sometimes a wrestling process. It doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
But that's for me what it comes down to. So thank you so much for sharing with us and sharing your wisdom and experience with us. Thank you, listeners, for being with us. It's been lovely to be with you again today. And we'll talk more about this next time. Please continue to send your comments, remarks, and questions to frederiksuki@capepulpit.co.za. And remember, if you missed part of this program or maybe the previous one where Trevor also spoke to us, please go back and get it at the podcast of Into Me See on Cape Pulpit. Till next time, God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio Cape Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit capepulpit.co.za.